We're just so grateful, Lord, that we can gather together like this in such freedom to praise and to worship you. Where we know, Father, in so many countries, this doesn't happen. And we just say thank you so much for that, Father. And we thank you too, Lord, that even this nation of ours, that you have your hand upon South Africa, and that your plans and purposes for South Africa are yes and amen and are good. And we thank you, Lord, for the turnaround. We thank you for your involvement. We thank you for a release of your presence over this nation of ours, touching lives and touching hearts and drawing people to Jesus, knowing that that is the only way, Lord, people surrendering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this morning we are so grateful. In Jesus' name, Father, we say thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's always good to be here at His Way Church. And folks, you know what? The Lord is good. The Lord is good to us. The Lord is good to us individually and to us corporately. And I just trust that the favor of God, the blessings of the Lord will continue to be poured out upon you and your family and upon us as a body of believers as well. You know, it's just so difficult for us to get our head around and to understand why the Creator of all things loves us so much. He just does. He just loves us. Just loves us. According to the word, you and I, we're the apple of His eye. Isn't that amazing? And He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, to die on that cross just because He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So my question, and also I want to say, first of all, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The question is, do you feel loved by the Lord? I'm asking that question because so often, you know, we come to church, we're part of, you know, we're doing things as unto the Lord, but knowing that the Lord loves us and feeling the love of God, right, that demonstrates and it shows that we have a relationship with Him. And we need to experience God's love. Even in the midst of our trials and our tribulations and whatever's going on in our lives. Amen. Folks, normally, you know, yeah, we share a message. If I share a message, you know, it's really about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We focus on Jesus, huh? But today, I want to take some time to focus on another member of the Godhead. And this is because of what I'm going to be sharing next time I share. I was going to actually share today on, it was, do you remember last week I spoke about the signs that follow us? And one of the things that I mentioned was tongues. And there's such confusion in the body of Christ about tongues. So I was going to actually speak about that. And when we speak about that, we're going to see incredible things happening. But I thought, you know, instead of speaking about that today, let me rather lay a foundation today, and that next time I speak, I'll be speaking about that specific thing, all right? Tongues, and is tongues important? Should we be praying in tongues? Did Paul pray in tongues? Is it scriptural to pray in tongues? Why do we pray in tongues? What are the benefits? All of these things. So today is really a foundation for what I'm going to be speaking about next time. So the title of my message today is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Folks, we need to know about the Holy Spirit. We need to have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. You know, for us, you know, to grow in faith, we have a relationship with Jesus. There's no question about that. We need to have strong faith. But folks, we need to know the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. A deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. And for us to have that deep, deep relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, we have to spend time. Right. Folks, for us to have that deep relationship with the Holy Spirit, we have to have a relationship with Him. A relationship, a deep relationship. And for us to have that deep relationship, we need to spend time. You know, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about the relationships that we have with one another. The people who we have deep relationships with are those people that we spend time with, quality time with. And if we are not doing that, ultimately people around us become acquaintances. Is that right? Huh? If you don't know the people around, you know, let's never be in a situation where the Holy Spirit is an acquaintance. Let's have that deep relationship. So, signs, I said last week, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, these are the works of the Holy Spirit on planet Earth today. And all of those things are done in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the power and the authority is in His name. Go and try to cast a demon out in some other name than Jesus and see what happens. Amen? Try it. So, you know, are we moving in that power? And are we moving in the authority that Jesus has actually purchased for us at Calvary? He purchases this authority for us. And folks, just because we are not using that authority that we have as believers, it doesn't mean we don't have it. It just means that for some reason, you and I have made a decision not to use the authority that Jesus has given us. And if we are not using it, we need to change it. There has to be a change that takes place. So, we need to remember, first of all, you know, we're speaking about the Holy Spirit today, that the Holy Spirit is not new on the scene. So often, because people don't fully understand who the Holy Spirit is, you know, they kind of think, well, is the Holy Spirit new on the scene? And of course He's not. We know that, right? We see that the Holy Spirit was involved in creation right back in the book of Genesis. In fact, in Genesis 1 verse 1, you can't go any further back than that. Am I right? Let me read it to you. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God," who is that? "The Holy Spirit," the Spirit of God, "was hovering over the face of the waters." Now, when you read that, there is some sort of sense of expectation. Am I right? As the Holy Spirit was hovering, something was about to happen. God, the Holy Spirit, was going to do something right there at the beginning of creation. So we can see the Holy Spirit has been around. Amen? Then it is the same Holy Spirit who inspired Scripture. You know, people will often say, I'm sure you've come across those people, "Well, I don't believe the Bible because, you know, it's just a whole lot of men writing stuff. And they put it in the Bible, and now we expect it to believe that." Part of it is true what they're saying, because it is man writing it, but it is man writing it under the unction, under the anointing, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who has written the Bible. He is the author of the Bible. And if He is the author of the Bible, that means that He is the most qualified teacher of the Word of God. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So folks, we need to get that picture. God speaking to men, and ultimately man documenting what God has been saying. That's what it is. So it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Then also, it's the same Holy Spirit that was involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, we need to know that Jesus when he walked planet Earth, that he was 100% man. Right? 100% man. And the Word of God says, and he never sinned. But what's so interesting is that Jesus, being 100% man, was exposed to the same trials and tribulations and difficulties and temptations that you and I are exposed to. And yet he did not sin. So Jesus is 100% man, and when he was on planet Earth, 100% God. We really have to understand that, folks, because I've heard it preached, well, you know, Jesus was man-God, like 50% man and 50% God. That is not true. Jesus, on planet Earth, 100% man and 100% God. So, like I was saying, it's the same Holy Spirit that was involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So, folks, why did Jesus operate in such power? Why? He had the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God, the Holy Spirit, was with the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity. So it's quite interesting. You know, when you have a look at Scripture, it was really after the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus. Do you remember when John the Baptist was baptizing him? At his baptism, that was a point where his public ministry actually started, in the power of the Holy Spirit at that point. Remember, you read about it, how the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. But what's very interesting is that there was one miracle prior to that that Jesus did. And in actual fact, when they came to him and they wanted him to, you know, kind of do this miracle, he said, but my time hasn't come. My time hasn't come yet. And yet, he went ahead and he converted that water into wine at that wedding. So that was one, you know, miracle prior to that. So Jesus wants you, Jesus wants me, Jesus wants us to continue with his ministry, the ministry that he started on planet Earth. It is your responsibility and my responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be his hands, to be his eyes, to be his feet, to be his mouth. We need to do what Jesus was doing when he was on planet Earth. This is what Jesus said to us, folks, in Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power, right? What is it that we're going to receive? Say it. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this is Jesus speaking to us, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will receive power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it's at that point that we will start to move in that power and authority that Jesus purchased for us. Amen? And what is the result? What is it that we should be doing now that we have that power? He said right there, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Folks, are we witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we representing Jesus well? When people see us, do they see Christ in us, the hope of glory? We need to be telling them, folks. That's part of what we need to be doing. Even if they don't believe, our job is to tell people about Jesus. It is then up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest. But if we are not opening our mouths and doing our side, the Holy Spirit is unable to do what he's going to do, what he wants to do, because we're not doing what we should be doing. Amen. So, has the Holy Spirit come upon you? You know, when you get born again, the Word of God says that the God, the Holy Spirit, when you confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that God, the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells on the inside of you. You become a new creature. You become a new creation according to God's word. Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So if that is the case, if the Holy Spirit has come upon us, or in our case, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, are you and I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and witnessing for Him at every single opportunity we get? We call that the Great Commission, right? And like I shared last week, expecting that where there's an expectation of seeing signs and wonders and miracles. Remember, it is not us that is doing the signs, wonders, and miracles. We just have to be obedient to what He's told us to do. So I suppose the next question is, who is the Holy Spirit? I want to start off with a couple of wrong views of who the Holy Spirit is. First of all, I want to tell us what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. And I'll read it to you. The Holy Spirit, okay, Jehovah Witnesses say, believe that the Holy Spirit is an invisible, active force of Almighty God that moves His servants to do His will. Folks, huh? He is not a force. Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a force that moves, you know, God's servants to do the will of God. Where does it come from? So that's incorrect. Then the Mormons, and I'm actually quoting from MormonWiki.com. The Mormons believe that the Holy Spirit is one of God's spirit children who has yet to gain a body but performs a vital role in the Godhead as a confirmer of truth. Really? Really? Folks, this is not what the Bible teaches. But unfortunately, there are many, many believers in Jesus that don't know who the Holy Spirit is. I want to tell you what John the Baptist said about Jesus in Matthew 3:11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He, there He is speaking about Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Right? So who is the Holy Spirit that John is speaking about? Folks, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. Now, the Holy Spirit is as much God as Father God is God. And the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Lord Jesus Christ is God. So this is the triune God. This is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that we call the Trinity, or we call the Godhead. And we see the deity of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. I want to read us a story. You remember the story with Ananias and Sapphira? Huh? What happened with them? So this dude had a property, and the property belonged to him. He could do what he wanted with the property. He could sell it, which he was going to do, and he could sell it, and then once he's got the money for it, he could keep the money, he could share the money, he could spend the money, he could give the money away. But he said that he had given it all. Let's just pick up here. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Okay. Who did he lie to? Tell the person next to you who you lied to. To the Holy Spirit. And to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. Then he said to him, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? In other words, was this property not yours? It belonged to you, and you could do what you want with it. And then he said, after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Then he said this, you have not lied to men, but to God. So, first of all, he said right there, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. You have not lied to men, you have lied to God. So we can see very clearly in Scripture that the Holy Spirit
is saying this. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can I tell you something? You can go to Rwanda in a rural area and the guys will haul out a microphone and they say, testing, 1, 2, 3. Wherever you go, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. There we go. All right. So the Holy Spirit is not an influence, I said, and he's not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a mist. The Holy Spirit is not a smoke, or I don't know what people think, right? The Holy Spirit is God, and he is a divine person. Now, the Bible speaks about the person of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to show you scriptures now to show you what, you know, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him, as a person. Folks, one of the things, and I don't believe that people do this deliberately, because, you know, we just try to do the best that we can. But there are many, many people, Christians, when they refer to the Holy Spirit, because they don't have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, they refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Okay. I know the hearts, you know, that's not kind of what they want to communicate. But it's often due to really a lack of knowledge when it comes to this, right? The Holy Spirit is not that, folks. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now watch here. In John 14, verse 16, tells us a lot more about who the Holy Spirit is. And this is now Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." So Jesus knows that it's not going to be long. There's going to be a death, like last week. Remember Easter Friday, death. There's going to be a burial. And then on Easter Sunday, there's going to be a resurrection. And ultimately, there's going to be an ascension. And Jesus is going to be, from that point onwards, at the right hand of the Father. So he's saying here, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." So we can see right there that the Holy Spirit, folks, is our helper. If you need assistance or help with anything as a believer, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him to help you. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Isn't that wonderful to know? That he will never leave you or forsake you. He's going to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. So he's also known as the Spirit of Truth. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth. Satan is a liar and is known as the father of lies. And he is the one that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The father of lies. So the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth. Because it, and then this is very interesting what he says right here. He says, "The world, whom the world cannot receive." So unbelievers are not able to receive the Holy Spirit. If you're an unbeliever, I'll speak a bit more about that now. But if you're an unbeliever, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. Because it's talking about unbelievers, neither sees him, Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, and calls him, nor knows him. Then Jesus says, "You know him, person of the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you," lives on the inside of us. Jesus went on to say, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jump into verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Folks, there it is. The Holy Spirit, our teacher. "And bring to your remembrance all those things that I have said to you." I don't know whether this has ever happened to you, but you can be ministering or speaking to somebody, you know, telling them about Jesus, and suddenly you start to share a verse, you know, something that Jesus has said, and you wonder where it came from. It's like you don't even remember learning it. And yet at the appropriate time, you sit in that context, sharing with that person, that particular verse comes out of your mouth. I don't know if you've experienced that. I've experienced that. And this is what Jesus was saying over here.
He will bring these things to our remembrance. So you folks, we can see from these scriptures here that first of all, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Comforter, especially in the times that we are living in right now. We need comfort. We need comfort. And there's no one that can comfort you and I more than God the Holy Spirit. Then we see here that He's not only our comforter, but he is our helper. So that means that you and I, as believers in Jesus, we can call on the Holy Spirit whenever we require help, whenever we require assistance with anything. Let's start to do that. Because this shows that we put in our trust in Him when we ask in Him in those times that we might be going through. So He's our comforter, He's our helper, and then Jesus, He's our teacher as well. We need to make a decision to allow ourselves to receive instruction and direction from God the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Word of God says, we have not because we ask not. Ask Him, ask Him. He is our intercessor. What is an intercessor? An intercessor is one who stands in the gap for another. So when we are praying for, even here in our church, when we are praying for somebody and standing in the gap as an intercessor, we are standing in the gap for somebody else. Right? Assisting that person, whatever it might be. We also see that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. In other words, what is it? Well, what is an advocate? An advocate is one that actually supports you. An advocate is one that favors you. The one advocate is somebody that's on your side. The Holy Spirit is on our side. And of course, we know that the Holy Spirit has now come to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ here on planet Earth. In other words, the times that we are living in right now, like I said, there was a death, a burial, a resurrection, and an ascension, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. That's where He is. And this is now the dispensation of the Holy Spirit busy at work on planet Earth right now. So, yeah, okay. Folks, the Holy Spirit, our closest friend, according to Scripture, closer than a brother, closer than a brother. One thing that we need to remember is that Jesus is God's gift to humanity. Jesus is God's gift to mankind, right? And Jesus, incredible gift. Because when we receive God's gift, what happens immediately, we are destined to spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God as opposed to spending eternity in hell. Is that true? So Jesus is God's gift to mankind, folks, but the Holy Spirit is God's gift to His children. I read that scripture. Well, let me read it again. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, unbelievers cannot receive the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. So unbelievers cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot say, well, you know what? I don't believe in Jesus, but I would like to receive the Holy Spirit. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. When we make a decision and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that is when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of us. Amen. But we have to receive Jesus. We can't just receive the Holy Spirit. Folks, if we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, you and I, we are no longer then controlled by our old sinful nature. I'm saying controlled by our old sinful nature. You know, does this mean that you and I will never ever mess up again? Does it mean that we're never going to sin again? Of course, it doesn't mean that, because you will sin. I will sin. We will mess up from time to time, right? Okay? In actual fact, the Word of God says that even our salvation, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So it's a process. You don't just get born again and now you've got it together. That's the start of our journey of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So does it mean that, like I said, that you will never ever mess up? And of course, we will mess up from time to time. But let me tell you something. It does mean
that your lifestyle will not consistently demonstrate your old nature. So we need to see ourselves as work in progress. And folks, we need to be, how can I say, encouraged to make sure that our work in progress, that we are growing spiritually quickly. There are too many people get born again. You know, you can get born again. It's like in the natural. A baby's born. And when a baby's born, it's so cute. The baby's got a little nappy on. And, oh, it's so cute when it makes in its nappy. And oh, cute. Right. But, folks, it's not cute when that baby's 11 years old and still wearing a nappy. And mommy and daddy still have to treat it as if it's a week old. Is that true? It's not cute anymore. And the point is that we need to make sure that we are growing. Okay? Growing in the things of God. Romans 8:9. But if God's Spirit lives in you, you're no longer under the control of your spiritual... you are under the control of your spiritual nature, not your corrupt nature. This is very interesting because it shows us that prior to you and I getting born again by the Spirit of God, that we had a corrupt nature. We notice how many people are corrupt, even in our nation. Is that true? What's happening to our country? If all these people that are corrupt in this country of ours got born again and were committed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to tell you there would be a turnaround in this nation like that. Is that true? So the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us, and He wants to change us, and He wants to change us that you and I become more and more and more like Jesus. That's what He wants. And we have to work with the Holy Spirit to make sure that those changes take place. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple? That God's Spirit dwells in you. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome scripture verse right there. That the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, sees your body and my body as His temple. Stipulated in the Word of God. Your body and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of Almighty God. And let me say this, that if our bodies are the temple of the living God, we need to ensure that we are looking after our bodies. Is that true? This is the basics, folks. You know, are we exercising as much as we should? I know I can exercise more. We all can. But we need to not just see our bodies as ours. We need to see the body that we dwell in, because we are a spirit being living in this body, that this body does not belong to you. It belongs to Him. It has been purchased with a very, very high price, and that was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And your body, my body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. So let's make sure we're eating healthy, that we're exercising, and also making sure that we put a lot of effort into changing habits that are damaging God's temple. Amen. Like I said, remember, you are not your own. You and I have been purchased with a price, and the price that we were purchased with was the highest price that anything could be purchased for or with. And that was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing, no higher price. No higher price. So when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we will start to see changes taking place in our life, in our lives. Amen? And we will start to see, one of the things that immediately we should start to see is that there's fruit in our lives. This fruit. And it can start off with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So what is the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit? I'm so pleased you asked the question. Thank you. Okay. There we go, Faye. Come stand here. But folks, there needs to be fruit, And the fruit is, the starting point is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 2, 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, first one, love. Folks, we need to be loving like Jesus loved. So we are all work in progress on that one. Love, joy. The next one is joy. That even in the midst of our trials and tribulations and difficulties, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can experience joy. We should be demonstrating joy. The next one is peace. That when unbelievers look at us, they think, gee, man, you're going through so much. But you just seem to be so at peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. The next one is patience. Do you know how you've got patience? Do you want to know how good you are at patience? Or how somebody else's patience is? Go and ask their spouse. Go ask their spouse. They will tell you. Do I pause? Patience, big one. Kindness. I remember saying this before. When you talk about kindness, kindness is just love in action. That's what it is. Are we demonstrating that? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, yep. Against such things, there is no law. So folks, if we are not moving forward in Him, we're actually moving backwards, right? You can't just stay, how can I say, stationary, you know, in the things of God. Now, it's interesting because this thing of fruit, the Word of God says that they will know you by your fruit. And unbelievers will know you by the fruit that they see in your life. Believers will know you by the fruit that they see in your life. Is that true? So we better watch out to make sure that there is fruit in our lives and also not be a hypocrite where we live in during the week, you know, during the week, posting little things on WhatsApp and, you know, all these things, you know, encouraging people, but we're not living it or we're not even trying to live it. But this is hypocrisy, folks. Huh? Then we come to church. Brothers, sisters, so cool. I'm just making a point here. We need to start to live this, and where other people, it says, the Word of God says, they will know you by your fruit. And be honest with ourselves when it comes to this thing. If there are no changes, that's the time we need to just say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, in all of this. Okay, ask Him to change us. And the reason why we really want the Holy Spirit to change us is that we can represent Jesus well wherever we are, right? Representing Him well. So folks, in the midst of this dark world, and it seems to be getting darker, hey? Huh? God has placed a light on the inside of you. And that is God the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about this when I was preparing. You know, there was a song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to make it." Have you heard that song? "This Little Light of Mine." This is not a little light. We've got a big light on the inside of us. We got a spotlight. It's God, the Holy Spirit. He is the light on the inside of us. Let Him shine. Let Him shine out of us. So, folks, we must make known the greatness of His power. Power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us, He's actually given us the power, and He's given us the ability to lead a godly life, and we have been given the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And we need to know that. So often we look at other people and we kind of look at maybe the anointing on their life. Folks, we have the same Holy Spirit. It's not a little Holy Spirit that lives in you and a big one that lives in someone else. Huh? Same Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Now, like I said, I've shared this because of what I want to share next time. I thought this would be really a good foundation for us when we start to speak about the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues,
Should we be praying in tongues? And if so, why should we be praying in tongues? What are the benefits? What are the advantages? Is it scriptural? Did Paul pray in tongues? All of those questions. So that's what we're going to be kind of going through all of those scriptures. And then it will be for those of us that are not filled with the Holy Spirit, that are not speaking in tongues. We're going to really trust for those that want to receive, will receive. Amen? That we start to pray in tongues. But I want to say up front that if you are not praying in tongues, it doesn't mean that you have not got the Holy Spirit. Those are teachings that are going out there, by the way, from a lot of churches around the world. If you don't pray in tongues, you haven't got the Holy Spirit. That is not scriptural. Okay? We get the Holy Spirit when we get born again. There's another experience that we can experience as believers, but it is up to us. Amen. Praise the Lord.